Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom and welcome to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. My name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be your co-host. I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest on this broadcast is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. These Hebraic truths, as most of you know, are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship, both with our Heavenly Father and with Yahushua, our Savior, and for some of us on this call, our husband, our spiritual husband. Now, at this time, I have the distinct honor to also welcome to you, for you and to you, the other half of this broadcasting dynamic duo, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi, for the wonderful introduction. I just want to say that it is a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 61st show, and we will continue to address the question, what does it mean that the love of many will grow cold? And that's based on Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right, and I'll start us off with prayer. Father, thank you for another opportunity to carry the torch of the light of your word that illuminates our minds, our hearts, and our wills, and gives the absolute clarity understanding to the destiny in which you've called for us. So I thank you for that, Father. We just submit to you now. We allow you to take control of the airways, to take control of what you desire for each and every one of us to hear, to understand, and to begin to apply in our lives. Father, we want that truth that once we apply it, absolutely works every time and in every situation and every circumstance. We want that type of truth from you this evening. So we submit to you and we allow you to begin to fulfill what you desire in us so that we can manifest your desires here on this earth. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Back to you, Evangelist Tanita, if you can give us just a synopsis of where we've gone so far and where we're up to at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Gunn. So we're continuing to answer the question about the love of many that had grown cold. In the show before, you were dealing with the works of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In the past show, we continued to address the flesh, the works of the flesh. We started at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 22, and you were telling us about submitting to one another. You were using that example of how when we don't do it, we are enacting enmity in us. And you were letting us know that the work of the flesh is in our soul, not our body. And our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. We need to understand who the real you is. It is our soul, not our body. You were letting us know that fasting breaks the cycle so that you can make righteous decisions. You gave us two examples of those that were dealing with flesh issues. The first one was in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, Cain. And it's in what we do, that action that causes us to have the reaction. In Cain's case, his offering was not accepted because he decided to bring a different offering from what Yah had told him. So he was dealing with pride. And Yah said, sin is knocking at your door. And you were letting us know, entering your mind. Sin has a conversation with your will. You have to take the thought active. And what happened, he didn't take that thought active. And we went over to Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, and Romans chapter 8, 1 through 9. You were letting us know that Paul, even though he had been in ministry for 20 years, he was still fighting his flesh, the war in his mind and his heart. And you were pointing out certain scriptures like verse 24, the wretched man, verse 25, Jesus didn't nullify but died for the penalty And then we had Deuteronomy 28, where you were pointing out the law of sin and death, which is, and I hope I'm saying this right, verses 15 through, I think, 64. And you can correct me on that one, Rabbi.
Okay, 15 through 68 in Deuteronomy 28.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Matthew chapter 5, you were letting us know that deals with the Beatitudes and how Yeshua, he was giving the Torah with our heart. And the Father deals with the do's and the don'ts. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, we are free as we are obedient. Obedience can come through walking in the law, and even though it doesn't save us, it also will not, the law, that which is done can't save us from the law of what will put us in jail again. So it's to set a process to rehabilitate ourselves. We go through the process so that we will never desire to do the sin again. We don't have we shouldn't think that we have a get-out-of-jail-free card. We don't love him when we continue to act in sin. It is our actions that keep us out of jail, so we have to guard our actions, walk right. And Jesus dealt with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. When we walk right, the righteousness of the law is applied to us, the love of God. If I'm not obedient, I don't receive the blessings. And you're pointing out that the blessings are in the Old Testament. You have to repent, walk right in order to walk in the blessings. And we stop at Romans chapter 8, verse 4. And so I'm going to show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right. And this part, as was already well summarized, there are three areas pertaining to the love of many that have gone cold that we need to really begin to dissect. And the one that we started dissecting and really pulling apart was the lust of the flesh. So this should hopefully be the time that we conclude that piece and then begin to go into another piece in the next broadcast. But I want to give you some takeaway cliches that are going to help you to begin to assess and reassess where you are and examine where you are in the faith. And when I say in the faith, I'm saying in that relationship of love that the Father requires of us. It's imperative that we know, and most of you on this broadcast are aware of this, but it's one of those passages of scriptures that we must always keep before our face, and that's 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. To understand what love is from the Father's perspective. So I'm going to have Evangelist Tunita read that so that we make sure that we keep an understanding of what love is from the Father's perspective. Because all through the day, not just at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, as most people say in a cliche, but all through the day, every day, it will always be determined by the Father's understanding, his litmus test of what love truly is, as to whether or not you and I have hit the mark and fulfilled that definition of love. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3.
Yes. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 reads, "For this is the love of God, Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome."
So if we begin to find out that within our own walk, in our own life, that his commandments are burdensome, it's because we've sold out to the flesh. We've sold out to the desires of the flesh. And it's imperative for us moving forward to understand, which most of us pretty much have a good idea. But in order to make it blatantly obvious, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to probably start at verse 16, okay? so that everyone knows that these are not just the requirements, 16 through about 19 or 21, but these are not just the requirements, but this is the problem that we all face when it comes to the lust of the flesh. Paul is speaking to the congregation in Galatia, and he is very much aware, because we talked about this in Romans chapter 7, when he was referring to himself in verse 24 and 25, that he's very much aware of this battle that we all face. And in this particular passage in Galatians, he's trying to really bear down and let everyone know that this is the main event. You know, this is the battle, the battle of the titans, if you will, that being the lust of the flesh against the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, and being yielded and led by the Holy Spirit. So if you would read verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians, please.
Okay. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. I say again, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah.
Okay, so when we look at this, there's so much in this passage. I mean, there's a plethora of rich nuggets and information in the passage itself. But one of the things that we need to make sure that we understand is when it begins to talk about fulfilling the things that we're supposed to fulfill in Yah, it says if we walk by the flesh and not by the Spirit, that we will not do the things that we would or that we cannot do the things that we should do. Okay? And I want you to read that again, if you could, Evangelist Tanita, and that is verse 17. Especially, yes. And if you read that in the Amplified, if you have that available?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And I want everybody to listen because this right here, and I apologize, this right here lets you know every one of us wants to be a winner or should want to be a winner, okay? Mm-hmm. And not just to participate in a sport, but to win, okay? That is something that the Father has placed within us. That's an innate desire that you and I have because the Father, who is a winner, by the way, and wins at everything that he does, calls us his children. So therefore, we should aspire to be like him. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 lets us know that we were made in his image and to be in his likeness. He's a winner. So we should be who we and what we've been called and created to be. This right here lets you know and lets me know that if we succumb to the lust of the flesh, there's absolutely no way that we will become who we should be. There's no way that we will win in life. It's a guaranteed L. It's a guaranteed loser is what we will receive if we succumb to and not overcome this opponent. Go ahead and read.
Okay. Amplified, Galatians 5:17. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do.
You are not free, it says in the Amplified. In other words, by succumbing to the lust of the flesh, you immediately become bound. You immediately become a part of the losing team and not the winning team. No matter and how much you desire or how much you verbalize, and we're in Christendom, we get into this concept of naming things and claiming things, or in some aspects they even use the word proclaiming things and trying to exercise your faith or belief in those things, which there's nothing wrong with that if you follow the scriptures in doing that and don't amplify the understanding of what the scriptures say and how it works, how faith in itself works. Because faith works by love. Love is active in an individual when they are obedient to the commandments of God. So if I proclaim or if I try to name things and get into this whole belief system and verbalization and saying this is what I'm going to have and this is who I am and this is what I'm going to be and all of those wonderful accolades about what God has blessed me to be or what I'm supposed to be, but yet I never do those things, then I have been immediately sold to the losing team. And no matter how great I am, my team, and it's a team of one, and that's important to understand. It's not like baseball or basketball or all of the other team sports. It is a sport of sorts. There are teams, but in each team, there's an individual that is responsible for his and her ability to be the winner that God has called them to be. We will be sold into, verse 17 is saying this. It's saying you will be sold to the losing team. And you can't blame anybody else on the team, because when you look around in the locker room and you're looking to see how many people are playing on the team, all the locker room has, and all the lockers on the locker room has your number and your jersey on it. Because you are singly responsible for your part in becoming the winner that God has called you to be. Singly, you are responsible. So in this, it's saying to me, if I choose to succumb to the lust of the flesh, then I immediately am sold to the losing team. And everything that I desire to do and all of the accolades I desire to allow to manifest through me will never accomplish its end goal, which is for me to be a winner, for me to be the head and not the tail, for me to walk in such a relationship with him that everything that I do is always spectacular. But this is saying, instead of that, anything and everything I do and those things that I desire not to do because I realize that it's not working, that too will not work. In other words, if I do nothing, I lose. If I do something, I lose. Why? Because I have succumbed to the lust of the flesh. Now, this is important because as we begin to look at what those different manifestations are that identify for me and for you, me operating in the lust of the flesh, I have to first and foremost know that this right here, verse 17b, should be the incentive for each and every person on this call to say, I don't want to be a loser. I wasn't created to be a loser. So when I begin to see these things manifesting, then I know that I have succumbed to a losing strategy. that will never benefit me in life, that nothing will ever go my way, which is God's way, by the way. So when I look at that, one of the things that's important for me to understand here, and this is a cliche that the Father gave me, that I want to make sure that everybody write this on the table, it's of your heart. And that is, when we talk about the soul, because we've talked about that, and in the synopsis, Evangelist Tanita gave an excellent synopsis of the aspects of the soul being the problem area, which it is. But we're going to dive even deeper within the soul. We're going to dissect it, which most of you are very much aware of the components of the soul, and that is the mind, the will, and emotions. But we're going to let ourselves know, because God wants us to know. He wants us to know, where is it, and this is the cliche that he gave me, love is a material of the will and not the material substance of the emotions. Now that's important. I'm going to say that again. Love is a supernatural material given from God that works in the will of the soul and not in the emotions of the soul. Now, why is that important? It's important because the world system has sold us a bag of goods pertaining to the definition of love being an emotional element. But love, the love that we're talking about, the love of God, is a substance that manifests itself in conjunction with our will. Going back to what Evangelist Tanita had shared pertaining to the synopsis of what we talked about last broadcast, where the Father met with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And in that interlude, in that discussion, the Father was letting Cain know two things that are very important, and both of them were addressing his will, talking about Cain's will. The Father let him know that the reason why his offering was rejected was because Cain willfully, knowing what he should have brought, willfully decided not to bring it. Second thing is that sin was crouching at the door, but Cain's will is what has been given by Yah for him to subdue that demonic realm. In other words, it was the will of Cain to suppress that thing, close the door to it, and not allow it to enter into his house, his spiritual house. What is supposed to enter into your spiritual house and what is supposed to manifest is love. Love, we know, is following the edicts and the commandments of Yah. So in Cain's situation, when he chose to give the first of his fruit that he was so proud of, as opposed to following the will of the Father and giving a first of the sheep or first animal as a sin offering, then his will went against God's will, and his will caused a disobedient act as opposed to an obedient act. So in verse 17, it's saying, even though your desire is to be a winner and to do what is right, you can't and won't do what is right. It won't succeed. It will end in failure. Because your or my will has decided to do or not do what it ought to. So it's important for us to understand that the love issue pertaining to emotions is something that the world is trying to pervert the understanding of that that God's tradition of what that is. It's God's tradition that you do what I tell you to do, and that exhibits and manifests the love that I'm talking about in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. So the lust of the flesh is an enemy to the will. The lust of the flesh is an enemy to your will and God's will manifesting. When Yeshua said, not my will, but the Father's will be done, he was stating and acting on the first act of love. The first act of love is to take our will and submit it and then commit it to God. Because as I do that, as we do that, then the only thing that, as we fulfill it, the only thing that will manifest is love. The only thing that will take refuge in your house is love. And every time you act on and begin to do anything, you will always win, because you will be submitted to and fulfilling, cooperating with the actual construction of your being and who you're supposed to be. You listening on this call are always supposed to win. We are winners by design. And if we're winners by design, then we have to submit to the designer who desires us to win. He does not, the designer does not know how to lose. And so therefore we, as we submit ourselves and begin to suppress our will and submit our will to his will and then activate that, we'll begin to understand and taste and see the wonders of being like him, being a winner, and not allowing the lust of the flesh to take its authority over our being. That's why Yeshua quickly submitted his will. Because if he would have tried to fulfill his will for what the Father is calling him to do and be, he would fail miserably. It's time for us to stop failing. It's time for us to be what the designers created us to be. It's time for us to win. Not once, not twice, but always. It's time for us to be on top and not beneath. Above only, because we never submit to what our will wants to do, separate from what his will says we should do. That's what this is about. That's what the call of love is saying within you. It's a matter of will. It's never, ever been a matter of emotions. And with that, I'm going to let Evangelist Anita share with you more information about us and about any aspect in which you would like to get involved with us, if you can do that at this time.
Okay, thank you. And thank you. The call of love is our will. Hallelujah. As many of you know, we have the show. It's held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions, if you would like to submit to the show, if you would email us at office@bethhashem.org. We have two websites in which you can research information on the ministry, and the ministry is called Beth Hashem. The first website is www.bethhashem.org. That is BETHHASHEM.org. We also have a Facebook page, and that is www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like to attend services, if you would email us at Beth Hashem yahoo.com for directions. Also, for those that may be interested in studying, going more in depth with a more Hebraic understanding, we have Zuhl College. You could also email us at office@bethhasham.org. For many of you that may be interested in donating via whether it's for to support radio or TV, if you will also go to our website at www.bethhasham.org. If you're being led by the Spirit to be a part of this ministry, if you go there to make your donations, we would appreciate it. Thank you, and I will hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Jones.
Well, Father, right now in the name of Yahushua, we give you praise. We thank you for another opportunity to understand more of what your love is and what does it take to submit ourselves to the fullness of you so that love will begin to just ooze out of us and be who we are called to be and what we are called to do. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for each and every person on the call. We thank you for them understanding who they are and beginning to walk in a winner's mentality and not a loser's mentality. Showing forth the faith and the ability to trust you, Father, and begin to yield their will to your will so that your way will be their way and that they will win each and every day, that they'll find the new mercies each and every day because they follow your compass. They align themselves with your GPS. So we thank you for that, Father. We bless you in the name of Yahushua. And those on the call, we bless you and your family. And we allow the Ruach HaKodesh to begin to just show you things that will help you fulfill all that you are supposed to be on this earth for the short time that we all have. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Shalom, shalom.